Chapter 11. 60 seconds. That's how long we're required to stand on our metal circles before the sound of a gong releases us. Step off before the minute is up, and landmines blow your legs off. 60 seconds to take in the ring of tributes all equidistant from the cornucopia. A giant golden horn shaped like a cone with a curved tail, the mouth of which is at least 20 feet high, spilling over with the things that will give us life here in the arena. Food, containers of water, weapons, medicine, garments, fire starters. Strewn around the cornucopia are other supplies, their value decreasing the farther they are from the horn. For instance, only a few steps from my feet lays a 3-foot square of plastic. Certainly it could be of some use in a downpour. But there in the mouth, I can see a tent pack that would protect from almost any sort of weather, if I had the guts to go in and fight for it against the other 23 tributes, which I have been instructed not to do. We're on a flat, open stretch of ground, a plain of hard-packed dirt. Behind the tributes across from me, I can see nothing, indicating either a steep downward slope or even a cliff. To my right lies a lake. To my left and back, sparse, piney woods. This is where Haymitch would want me to go, immediately. I hear his instructions in my head. Just clear out, put as much distance as you can between yourselves and the others, and find a source of water. But it's tempting, so tempting, when I see the bounty waiting there before me. And I know that if I don't get it, someone else will. That the career tributes who survive the bloodbath will divide up most of these life-sustaining spoils. Something catches my eye. There, resting on a mound of blanket rolls, is a silver sheath of arrows and a bow, already strung, just waiting to be engaged. That's mine, I think. It's meant for me. I'm fast. I can sprint faster than any of the girls in our school, although a couple can beat me in distance races. But this 40-yard length, this is what I'm built for. I know I can get it. I know I can reach it first. But then the question is, how quickly can I get out of there? By the time I've scrambled up the packs and grabbed the weapons, others will have reached the horn, and one or two I might be able to pick off. But say there's a dozen. At that close range, they could take me down with the spears and the clubs, or their own powerful fists. Still, I won't be the only target. I'm betting many of the other tributes would pass up a smaller girl, even one who scored an 11 in training, to take out their more fierce adversaries. Haymitch has never seen me run. Maybe if he had, he'd tell me to go for it, get the weapon, since that's the very weapon that might be my salvation. And I only see one bow in that whole pile. I know the minute must be almost up, and will have to decide what my strategy will be, and I find myself positioning my feet to run, not away into the surrounding forests, but toward the pile, toward the bow. When suddenly I notice Peeta. He's about 5 tributes to my right, quite a fair distance. Still, I can tell he's looking at me, and I think he might be shaking his head. But the sun's in my eyes, and while I'm puzzling over it, the gong rings out. And I've missed it. I've missed my chance, because those extra couple of seconds I've lost by not being ready are enough to change my mind about going in. My feet shuffle for a moment, confused at the direction my brain wants to take, and then I lunge forward, scoop up the sheet of plastic and a loaf of bread. The pickings are so small, and I'm so angry with Peeta for distracting me, that I sprint in 20 yards to retrieve a bright orange backpack that could hold anything, because I can't stand leaving with virtually nothing.